This is JimPinto.com e-news number 273, the 12th of October, 2009. This e-news is read by JimPinto's text-to-speech robot Jimbo, or Jimbot, if you prefer. As usual, there are 5 items, and 3 feedbacks in this issue of e-news. Item 1. GE will emerge as the next big automation player. CEO Jeff Immelt has taken GE stock from $40 a share to $6. Now it is back up to $16. He will have to do something dramatic next. Jeff Immelt recently stated that America and GE must return to manufacturing roots. How will this impact GE involvement in the automation business? Here's my analysis. The recent GE and Fanuc joint venture split was clearly not an isolated decision. It followed the reorganization of the PLC and software businesses into separate commercial units. My guess is that GE will create a new industrial division, where GE will place its automation businesses not yet known. Will GE keep automation or sell it off? Will it try to create a larger automation unit by putting together its automation business with its energy unit? All these questions will take a few months of deliberation and strategy sessions. After that, GE will move very quickly, probably emerging as a buyer or seller of automation assets in early 2010. Stay tuned as the automation business regroups for a new round of mergers and acquisitions. Item 2. Corruption of capitalism. I believe in capitalism. Because I appreciate the benefits of capitalism, I've studied its advances and now its decline. It's clear to me that greed and excess are contributing to its swift downfall. The Enron scandal generated regulatory moves, but apparently, not enough. Less than a decade later came the collapse of Lehman, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIG, and, well, do you know the story? This time, many companies were declared too big to fail and the government provided a cash stimulus, $1 trillion. Where did the money come from? Credit from future taxpayers. The banks quickly raised overdraft charges and other fees, returning to profitability and boosting reserves by billions. Again, they give big bonuses for key executives. Congress stands by impotent. Today, the Fed chairman has pronounced that the recession is over, trying to induce consumers to start consuming again. Do you really think the stimulus solved the intrinsic problems? Of course not, it merely hid the effects and prolonged the decline. I've talked with friends at many of the big banks and financial giants. No one denies that fudging takes place. They all agree that many corporate leaders and politicians are corrupt. Greed, lying, cheating, bribing, and stealing have become legalized, with Congress itself as the prime example. Can you refute that? If you cannot, then how can you condone it? The rich are getting richer and richer by controlling wealth and manipulating the media. It's estimated that 1% of Americans now have more wealth than 95% combined. Do you think that's fair? Meanwhile, America's middle class keeps sliding into depression, with more and more joblessness and foreclosures. U.S. unemployment has climbed to 10%, with several states well over 15%. Nearly 47 million Americans, or 20% of the population, under the age of 65, remain without health insurance. We keep talking about the American dream. This is becoming the American nightmare. I have pointed out that distributed capitalism is emerging as a winner. Employee ownership, profit sharing, big bonuses must be subject to public scrutiny. Increased regulations must limit loopholes. Greed and corruption must be publicly exposed. I welcome your opinions and ideas. Item 3. Documentary. Capitalism, a love story. No matter what you think of Michael Moore, you must see his latest documentary, which came out in theaters a week ago. What Michael Moore excels at is humanizing. He shows us just who is affected by crony capitalism and why. He shows real people being thrown out of their homes, being pushed out of their jobs, being paid a pittance to survive. This move isn't just an emotional piece. Michael Moore lays out evidence for the viewer. He demonstrates the ingenuity with which big money boys have landed on their feet, while stepping on everyone else. Michael Moore asks scholars and clergymen to find any sort of moral justification for capitalism. One priest flatly states that capitalism has become radically evil. Go see the movie. At the very least, you'll recognize the insidious evils of capitalism gone corrupt. Item 4. Healthcare moves offshore. Global healthcare is the rapidly growing practice of traveling across international borders for medical treatment. Today, virtually every type of healthcare is available in countries that offer superb doctors and medical facilities. Luxury hotels for family members are sometimes thrown in as a bonus. It's called medical tourism. When compared with often crowded U.S. hospitals, bogged down with malpractice insurance, and escalating costs, many foreign hospitals are well equipped, superbly staffed, and the facilities are sometimes even considered luxurious by American standards. Amazingly, some foreign hospitals provide operations at 10% to 25% of the cost in the U.S. An operation that costs $50,000 in the U.S. can usually be done in Mexico, India, or Turkey for $5,000 to $10,000. Travel and accommodations are usually minimal by comparison. In the U.S., there are more than 46 million uninsured. Also, many of the insured are suddenly told by their insurance providers that their condition is not covered because it was pre-existing. For these people, going abroad for medical treatment becomes a lifesaver, literally. An estimated 750,000 Americans went abroad for healthcare in 2007, and estimates are that it doubled to 1.5 million in 2008. Forbes magazine estimates that medical tourism will be over $40 billion annually by 2010. Clearly, this is how America can solve the escalating healthcare financing crisis. Now, this is an interesting twist to the already burgeoning outsourcing business. Item 5. Making dynamic PowerPoint presentations. You go to a meeting. Everyone has arrived. The lights dim, and the presentation begins. Presenters keeps showing slide after slide. Some in the back row actually doze off, while many others' minds drift off. They are being slide swiped. For my own speeches, I like to use PowerPoint slides as cue cards, so that my audience can follow along with me. My slides are typically short, brief points, so that they don't spend time reading the slide instead of paying attention to what I'm saying. And it keeps me on track. Of all the tech types, no one rivals the skills Ant possesses in presenting as Apple's Steve Jobs. His iPhone introduction has 5 lessons for making a superb sales pitch. 1. Build tension, generate drama with a couple of surprises. 2. Stick to one theme per slide, one key point. 3. Add pizzazz to your delivery, vary your speed and tone. 4. Practice, don't wing it, rehearse your presentation. 5. Show enthusiasm, loosen up and have fun. We all have room to improve our presentations. Develop your own special style. And practice. As usual, there are 3 feedbacks in this issue of E-News. Feedback 1. John Brewer complains about the motives behind global outsourcing and the bad results. Says John, I have been in the tool and die business for 36 years and have 10 to go. I have seen how this outsourcing has gone. I believe it has been driven mainly by corporate, investor, and individual greed. The root of all evil. As our middle-income people are put out of work, the government and retailers receive less money in taxes. Sure, workers may have to take less-paying non-manufacturing jobs, but again less taxes are received. We are in a terrible spot. Greed got us there. We are losing our manufacturing abilities. Manufacturing and making things is where money is made. Banks and investing are just exchange of money. As jobs go away, so does training. And as overseas wages go up, the work may come back to an ill-prepared workforce. With early rapid retirement, what the older people have learned is not being passed down to the younger generation. What knowledge loss! I fear what lies ahead in manufacturing, and in essence our future. Feedback 2. Rod Pottershuck discusses why big companies are now at a disadvantage. Ross says, over the last few years, the destabilizing force that internet connectivity provides is having major impact. Centralized control of large corporations is eroding in favor of a more distributed model. The nimble, quick, and creative will be the winners in the next version of capitalism. Small companies, with low overheads, tapping into cheap information, can give customers what they want sooner than any big behemoth. Feedback 3. Mike Jost writes about the looming water shortages. Mike asks, why does everyone need to live in a warm-arid climate? There is so much water in Midwest flyover country, enough to support Brazil and the U.S. The overpopulation of California and Arizona, not the majority of the U.S., is just another relic of the hedonistic capitalism we are burying. Yes, winters are tough in the north, but water is more abundant. Maybe people should wake up. They should move back to Boston, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa, where water is plentiful. Think about it. Well, that's this issue of e-news. Please send us your feedback. Tell Jim how you like me, his Jimbot text-to-speech robot. Send your email to jim@jimpinro.com. Thank you.